Hello, everybody. Welcome to Mosaic House Church. Thank you for letting us into your living room or your phone or wherever you are. We appreciate it. Now, I don't know about you, but I like my body. And God gave us all beautiful bodies, and they're very intricate, but mine hurts sometimes. I struggle with kind of chronic back pain because I have a bad hip, some sports injuries, and you know, it's like my body's talking to me. My back is like, slow down, don't do anything. And then my friends say, oh, let's go play soccer, Jeremiah. And my feet are like, yeah, we're ready to go. Come on, come on. And my back's like, no, 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 no way. And my feet are like, yeah, we're so ready. Come on, come on back. You know, we'll be careful this time. And even though my back is saying no, my feet are saying yes, and I can't say no to soccer, so I play. And I think, oh yeah, my back will be fine. It's not even involved. We'll be fine. And then if I play really hard and my feet are, you know, trying to be more skilled than I actually am skilled, trying to be Ronaldinho or all those, or Neymar, my back gets hurt. And what's funny is the pain usually goes from my back down to my knee. Our bodies are connected. And even though mostly in soccer is my legs, my back is also involved. And when one part of the body hurts, other parts of the body are connected as well. And what's interesting is in scripture, the Bible describes the people of God, the followers of Jesus, like a body. Hands, feet, a head. And we don't use just, or we don't have, we're not just individuals coming together, but we are one kind of unit, like a body. And a body is diverse as fingers, head, toes. And just like that, the people of God are diverse and they're unified in one. If you've been with us for a little while, we've been doing a series called Entrusted, How to Steward God's Blank. And we've been looking at a few things. How to steward, first, God's trees. That's God's creation. We looked at Genesis 1 and see how we are called to be stewards. And last week, Pastor Victor gave us a wonderful sermon on how to steward God's treasure. And today, we're looking at how to steward two things, God's time and talents. Everything that we see and know is a gift from God, including our time. God said He created time when He put the moon and the sun and the stars in place. And also, all that we are talented at, all that we have interests in, all that we love to do, our hobbies, all that, our skill and our desire and our joy comes from God. And we've all been given talents and time from the Lord. And we don't just have these beautiful gifts for ourselves just to do our own thing. What we do with these gifts directly affects everybody else in the body of Christ. Just like my back is connected to my legs, what we are connected to others and how we use our gifts affects each other. Now we're going to go look at this kind of metaphor analogy. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. And also this might be a good time to check out our sermon notes. You can click on the resources tab on mosaichouseonline.ca and you can follow along and read scripture there. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to jump around a little bit, 4 to 20, and then we're going to go to 24b to 27. Hear the word of the Lord. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as a body, the one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so does with Christ. For we are baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed all parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Go to verse 24b. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for, even though we're not as smart as you, that's for sure, you've given us ways to understand how you're working in the world. You've made bodies so intricate and beautiful, and you have made this new body, your people, who are connected and loved by you. So help us, Lord, to use what you've given us, our time and our talents, well, and bring healing to our physical bodies and also to the body of Christ through and by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is what I believe God wants us to know today, and you can write this in your sermon notes. Jesus, our Lord Jesus, gives gifts to us so that we can give to each other. Now, this list that we talk about, all these spiritual gifts, they're not things that we work for or earn. They are gifts from God. And the word gift in verse 4 is the Greek word charisma. And you might hear this term charisma. It has a lot of charisma. He's gifted. He's a gifted speaker, as a gifted personality. And another way to interpret that word is charis in Greek means grace. These things are an act of grace from God. It's a gift that we can't earn or even deserve. And today I won't go through the list of spiritual gifts. They were likely gifts that the Corinthians would have known and practiced in their church. And it was also these kind of things that maybe are strange to us today were probably pretty common in Corinthian culture and even other religions in the city of Corinth. But the Lord had chosen the people with these certain gifts and used those gifts by His Holy Spirit for the use of His church to glorify God and to love their neighbors. Now, the point of God's gifts, of God giving us gifts, is not for us to hoard them for ourselves, but to share them with others so that we become like God, the giver of gifts. He doesn't just give it to us as individuals, and we don't just look like God as individuals, but all of us together form this body of Jesus. People should see the body of Jesus when they look at us. Look at His church. And that is the purpose of these gifts of time and talents, is to show the world who Jesus is. Now, we are a part of the Christian Reformed Church in North America, and today is a special day in the Christian Reformed Church. It's actually, it's Father's Day. Hello, fathers, and I want to honor that, and thank you for all you've done. And it's also Indigenous Sunday. It's a way where we celebrate different cultures at Mosaic House and in the Christian Reformed Church, and specifically in Canada and America, we want to celebrate and remember the first culture here, Indigenous peoples, and as a way to kind of bridge together, maybe not perfectly, Father's Day and Indigenous Day, I want to look at an Indigenous method that parents often use called the Circle of Courage. It was developed by a couple people, but one of them is Martin Brokenleg. He's an Indigenous Christian. And he developed this because a lot of people are asking, what is the framework by which Indigenous peoples use to raise their children and develop what's important to them, courage? Courage creates resiliency. That is the ability for children and all of us to face the hardships of life. And Martin Brokenleg and others developed this Circle of Courage to explain how many Indigenous fathers, mothers, aunties, and cousins, and uncles, and friends help their children develop and grow mature. And it's actually used, interestingly, by youth workers and youth programs in South Africa when Nelson Mandela was the leader. It also has been a way to help people battle addictions. For our purposes today, we will use it as a framework to help us and guide us how to use time and treasures entrusted to us, how to steward them well. So let me just explain this. It's based on the medicine wheel. And one aspect first is belonging, sense of community, loving others, and being loved. Second aspect is mastery, competence in many areas, having self-control, responsibility, striving to achieve personal goals rather than superiority. The third one is independence, making one's own decisions and being responsible for failure or success, setting one's own goals, disciplining oneself, and then finally generosity, looking forward to being able to contribute to others, being able to give cherished things to others. And the idea is, when you're able to develop all these aspects in someone and in a community, they will grow in courage and resiliency. So what I'm going to do is kind of look at two at a time. Two of them which complement each other, but also can contrast each other and to give us a better understanding what and how we should use the gifts God has given to us. So the first one to look at, or first two, are independence and belonging. Someone who has courage is both independent and is someone who belongs. Now, Pastor Tim Keller says there are kind of two different kind of cultures. There's the older traditional cultures and the modern culture. And in traditional cultures, you find your identity in the role your culture has given to you. You're given a role, maybe a hunter, a farmer, a healer, a mother, or a father, and you have these expectations by which you have to follow in order to fulfill your role. Now, in modern cultures, in today's society, especially in North America, a lot of people find their identity in their own individual self. They kind of choose what they want to be, and they don't have to follow all the roles that culture gives them. Now, there is good and bad to both, for sure. We won't get into that now. But the Circle of Courage kind of takes the best of both worlds and puts it into one. Belonging celebrates the fact that you and we all belong to a people, a group. We're not just individuals. You are not alone. At the same time, independence celebrates the fact that you are still a unique individual. Brokenleg says that independence teaches children to take responsibility for their actions, to be able to be separate from the group, and like a body, every part of it is unique and individual. It's separate. And the eye blinks without any other thing, and the heart beats of its own accord. Well, a little more complicated than that, but it does its own individual thing. Now, and it also, independence means that you have to take responsibility for your actions, the good ones, and also times when you hurt others, hurt yourself and the community. Belonging and independence come together. In the Filipino culture, which I'm a part of, I've kind of shared this before, it has a similar idea. They describe community in terms of multiple fried eggs. That is, when you crack a bunch of eggs together and start frying them, what do the egg whites do? They kind of merge together. You don't know where one egg white ended and one started. And yet, there are still, so we're connected, but still, there are still individual egg yolks, the yellow part. We belong, but also we're still independent. And this is very similar to the way Paul is describing the community of Jesus. You can write this in your notes. You are unique and independent, part of the body with specific gifts and talents, yet you belong and are intimately dependent on the body. We are individual, but also we are connected. And the purpose of these gifts is not to compete with each other or compare with each other. Oh yeah, I'm a nose. I'm way better than you, thumb. No. But the idea is to work together, like a body works together. And if we look through the context of the Corinthian church, we see that the Corinthian church was kind of comparing each other's gifts. Oh, well, you got tongues? You're lucky. I want the gift of tongues. Oh, you know what, guys? I got prophecy. I'm the best. Yeah, look at me. I'm the best. And Paul is saying, that's not what gifts are for. And he uses this analogy of the body to let people know that every independent gift is important and it belongs. You can write this in your notes again. You must not think your gift is more important than others. And you must not think your gift is not as important as another. Every body part is equally important. But that doesn't mean we treat every body part the same. We treat each gift differently, yet equally. For your fingernails, you cut them. With a nail clipper, you don't cut your beard with a nail clipper. You do very, very similar things different. My hands are shown. Other parts of my body are covered. It doesn't mean they're not equal. They're just very, very different. In the same way, people in the church, we're all equal. We're all one. But it doesn't mean we are the same. The pastor is very, very different than the cleaner of the church. And it's very, very different than the typical fellowship team that does all the food, and also very different than the praise team, which leads us in the worship. All are important, but they are different, and that is okay. That's actually good. That's what God made it to be. You can write this in the notes. This is your application. I encourage you to know your gifts in the body and celebrate your gifts in the body. Now, knowing your gifts, there's no template in the Bible that says this is how you know your gifts. There's some assessments out there, but we're not perfect. Ask the Lord, what's your gifts? And also ask other people, what am I good at? Where should I invest my time and talents? And when you find that out, celebrate. Use, invest your time and talent into the body to grow it, because you belong there. And don't feel ashamed or don't feel too haughty based on your gifts. Martin Luther King Jr., I love this quote. He says this: if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets, even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth would pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. If you are called to preach, do it well. If you are called to be a greeter, a welcome team, if you are called to vacuum the floor, do it as if the Lord of heaven is watching. Because he gave you that gift and said, you're using it well. Well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus gives gifts to us so that we can give to each other. And the purpose of individual gifts is to create this sense of belonging in the body of Christ, to give to each other, to feel like we belong. Now, the other two are mastery and generosity. Mastery is the ability to grow and improve on the gifts the Lord God has given to us by His Holy Spirit. And generosity is the ability to use your gifts, to give of yourself, to serve and love others. And we are called to do both. We're called first to spend a lot of time to develop the gifts and talents God has given to us. And then also we are called to spend more time sharing those gifts with others. You know, that kind of famous saying that in order to be a master of something, you must spend at least 10,000 hours. And that's true. And I think we should spend a lot of time improving. I put a lot of hard time in preaching, honing my skill, practicing. The worship team, they put a lot of time and effort to do that. Also, in our house church lead missionaries, they're the leaders. They put a lot of time investing and growing. And something we say here at Mosaic House Church is our public ministry flows out of our private ministry. That is, if we want to serve people publicly, we have to make sure that we are doing the work of growing in Christ. Before we can share Christ, we must know and grow in Christ first. And that is so, so important. Yet, the main reason that we have gifts is not only for our own self-enjoyment or our betterment, but it's to serve others. It's to give to others. The purpose of any body part, let's say the bicep, isn't just to look good. Yeah, look how strong I am. For its own sake, the purpose of it is to work with the forearm and the hand to open jars that are stuck, jar lids that are stuck, and also to carry our grocery bags into our home. You can write this in your notes. The purpose of your growth is the growth of the rest of the body. And I would argue that we are called then to invest more time serving others with your gifts than individually developing them. And what is amazing, though, is the more you serve others, the more you will also grow individually. A music teacher once told me that every hour playing with others, playing music with others, you know, jamming, grows you the same amount as 2 hours practicing by yourself. There's that kind of synergy. You actually will grow more when you use your gift for others. We need both to grow our own gifts, but also we grow better with others. And this is what generosity means. Jesus gave gifts to us so that we can give to each other. We can give of ourselves. And Martin Brokenleg says, this is not just nice, easy kind of giving. This is giving that hurts. He uses the analogy of the potlatch where they give the most treasured gifts to each other. And this really reminded me of an indigenous friend who's a Christian. I was talking with the other day and she was telling me a story of her family. And it just struck me so hard that one of her family members, their kids, they loved each other, but they were struggling financially. And then the father went to a church leader at the time and said, come, can you please help us out? Can you help us? And the church leader gave some time and said, yes, I'll help you. And then instead of really helping them, he called social services and they took the kids away. And my friend, she was like, I can't believe a man of God would do that. You and me, people of God, true people of God, we would try to find another way. We would give half of our groceries for these kids, wouldn't we? And when she said that, I was like, would I? My wife, Celia, groceries are expensive. I really doubted, like, wow, would I do that? Could I do that? But she, an indigenous woman, that's just part of her culture. Yeah, we would give everything. We wouldn't let somebody else deal with the problem. We would give of ourselves. And she was crying when she said that she was so mad at the church at the time. Thankfully, she is still a follower of Jesus. But she said she saw the kids after they were at social services and said that it was harder to see them than the death of her own son because they were so broken. Generosity is not easy. It's not, oh, let somebody else deal with it. I'll let the system take care of it. It's giving of yourself where it hurts. And the purpose of this giving is, we see in verse 7, now to each the manifestation of the Spirit, gifts from the Spirit of Jesus, is given for the common good. And that common good is, yes, the body of Christ, to grow in our body. But also, the body isn't just to support itself, it's to serve others, it's to serve all creation, all peoples, all, everyone, to love our neighbors as ourselves. That is the purpose for the common good of the church and of the world. And I encourage you to serve the common good. Be generous until it hurts through a house church. We have Mosaic House Church. We have house churches where we do life together. We pray. We eat together. We read scripture. We support each other. And we serve our city together. And I know if you're online, you might not be in Edmonton. Find a church body, but also find a small group, a team of believers where you can support each other, where you can learn to be generous like this, and also where you can grow in Christ. And if you're in the Edmonton area, check out our house churches at Mosaic House on the website there, okay? Now, if you read this, you know, so the last point, the main purpose of these gifts is to become like Jesus. Jesus gives gifts to us so that we can give to each other. Jesus gave so that now we can give. And let me just read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each of us, grace, a gift has been given as Christ apportioned it. Jesus gave us the gifts. That's why he says, when he, as Jesus, ascended on high, he took many captives. He defeated the powers of darkness, and he gave gifts to his people, to us. And what does it mean he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? That is, how can Jesus be lifted up to heaven if he wasn't first came down? And that most likely means he became God, became a human. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe so that his kingdom, his glory is reigning. So Christ gave, himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So we come to know Jesus more and become like him and become mature, attaining to the full measure of the fullness of Christ. The main point of these gifts is to become more and more like Jesus. Not as individually, but as a community. And the reality is, it's hard to become like Jesus. It's hard to give like it hurts, isn't it? And when my friend said, give half the groceries just like that, I was, could I do that? And the reality is, we cannot become like Jesus. He gave until he hurt, but even beyond, he gave his own life. He left heaven to become one with God, to become one with humanity. And just like we can't work hard to get all these gifts, we can't become like Jesus on our own strength. That also is a gift. Salvation, becoming one with God, forgiveness for our sins, and all good things comes from God. They are gifts, and they are his grace. And this is emphasized in verse 11, where it says, and all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, one in the Trinity, and he distributes them to each just as he determines. And that word determines is a bulletai. Bulletai, God's eternal purpose, his sovereign and good and unstoppable plan for us. And we see what God's plan is in Ephesians 1. The same word is used in Ephesians 1 verse 11. It says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works everything into conformity with the purpose of his will. We can't just try to be hard to become like Jesus. It's God's plan. It's God's purpose. He is making us like him. God is giving us special and unique gifts for his purpose. And just as he had given gifts, he has given us the greatest gift of all, his son Jesus, and now his Holy Spirit, so that in his power and grace, he is making us more and more like Jesus as we use our gifts for God's glory and for our neighbor's good. And this is the hope we have in Ephesians 4, 15 to 16. He says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. Christ is the head. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's beautiful. In a mysterious way, through the Holy Spirit, we are connected to Jesus like we are connected to each other. He is the head of the body, for he is human like us. And we don't grow, we don't use our gifts apart from him. And as our head, Jesus is growing us. He will guide us. He will lead us. He continually gives us gifts as our head so that we can give to each other. We are in him. He is in us. Let us continue to remain in him and follow him. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for this great gift given to us. Please forgive us when we've used our gifts or competed to use our gifts. Help us to become one body in which we connected intimately to you. Lord, help us to use our time and our talents and our gifts for your glory. Guide us, Lord. Help us to know each what our individual gifts are so that we may use them for the common good, the building of your body, and also participating in your kingdom that is now present and fills the whole universe. Holy Spirit, guide us. And thank you for the gifts you've given to us. We pray all this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us here at Mosaic House Church. When we hear the word of the Lord and the good news of Jesus, we are called to respond. We respond in prayer. We respond to singing. And I encourage you after this, maybe turn on your favorite worship music. And also respond in giving of ourselves. Giving of our time. Maybe go and support a local church organization that supports and empowers people to live in the common good. Give of our talents. What is God calling? What gifts God has given you? Playing music. Maybe it's leadership. Maybe it's serving. Maybe you have one of the charismatic gifts. Use it for the Lord. Or it's also giving of our treasure. God has given everything to us. Everything we have, our breath, our money in our bank account. And as a way to say, Lord, it's yours anyway, we give a portion back as an act of faith, saying, Lord, you pay the bills. It's you who sends our kids to school. It's you who gives me the ability to work. It's you who puts bread or rice on the table. And if you feel led and called to give to your local church first. But if you don't have a community yet, feel free to give online to hear our ministry at Mosaic House Church. And may God use those gifts for his glory and for the service of our neighbors. Well, again, thank you so much for coming. I encourage you to stand and rise as you receive the benediction, and I hope to see you here again soon. May the Lord God, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, his body, may he nourish you, may he strengthen you, may he massage parts of you that are hurting and broken, may he bring healing the deepest parts of us, so that we together in unity and in diversity, may show the world who Jesus is by His Holy Spirit. Amen.